Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We are joined on the line by a very good friend of ours, Mpumelelo Zikalala. And the reason why he's joining us is because you will have seen that the latest twist in the Please Call Me battle between Nkosana Makate and Vodacom is that he's been ordered to pay Vodacom 30 million when it comes to their legal costs. Now, this has been going on for almost two decades. I think it's 18 years in the court. So 18 million may seem like a lot, but the cost of litigation in South Africa can run to those amounts, and sometimes even more so, right? This order came from the Constitutional Court. The case is still ongoing, so we have no idea how this matter will eventually get resolved. But I wanted to speak to Zikalala, first of all, about how something like this can arise. So this is obviously a civil matter, right? It's not a criminal matter. Nobody's going to go to jail here. So essentially what you are doing is you're suing the other party for some kind of a settlement. You feel like you owed an amount of money. Now, if you, Zikalala, were to sue me, for example, I would then have an obligation to defend myself. I can't defend myself, or I could just go, okay, I'm rolling over. I will pay you whatever you need, and that's that. But to defend myself will cost me money, right?
Yes.
So maybe let's start there. When we speak of vexatious litigation, what is that according to the Constitution?
Yeah, it's basically saying you're engaging in unnecessary litigation, or during the engaging of the litigation, you're engaging in delaying tactics. The number of postponements that have taken place, you came to court not prepared, asking for postponements which are not necessary. And then the court would say, there was no need for you to come here and waste our time. So the way in which we're going to punish you, we're going to punish you by giving us the highest cost order or the scale which is available. Now, there are different type of costs that are there. You have the party and party cost, which is basically the tariffs that are legislated. Those costs are very low. I think for an hour, it's not more than 2,000 rands. Mm. And then you have your attorney and client cost, which are costs that we have decided, both you and I, as your legal practitioner, which are usually higher. You would find someone saying, I charge 4.5 per hour, and the cost of counsel is going to begin added on that one. So if you awarded that one, that's mostly the highest cost that is there. And you'd find in certain instances where there are wasted costs, where there are unnecessary postponements which are taking place, the courts are awarding what is called wasted cost or cost bonus policy. That says it's a way of punishing you. You're engaging in conduct which is not supposed to be there. So after a matter has been done and dusted, then the court will come back and say, who is going to pay the cost of this application? The person who has lost is usually the person that pays, unless in other exceptional circumstances, as you've seen in the Constitutional Court, where the court will rule that each party must pay their own cost. But I must say on this one, it was a bit, I wouldn't say arbitrary, and I mean that in the most respectful way to the Constitutional Court and also to the judge. Because at the end of the day, the mistake that has taken place, it is not due to the litigants. So it's not the litigants that forced the Supreme Court of Appeal to decide the matter in a manner in which they were not supposed to decide it. So why am I being punished for the mistake of a presiding officer that I had no control over? I provided all the information which was there, and yet I'm now being forced to pay for the whole legal cost, including the cost of senior counsel. Because if you have three senior counsels that are there, you'd find that maybe they'd say 45,000 rands per day for each. So it's 45 times three. Why am I being punished for that? So I think it was a bit a miscarriage of justice on that one, on the cost, especially when the matter is still going to go back to the Supreme Court of Appeals to be adjudicated again.
Mm. So that's a very good point for us just to hold it on, because there's a lot to discuss when it comes to this matter. Like, for example, before we go over to traffic, I actually want to ask you, you know, if you've got three senior counsels, as you've said, and those costs can run in the hundreds of thousands per day, you can see how a matter that's gone on for 18 years can end up costing you millions. Now, if it turns out you don't have those millions, the question I'll have for you when I come back is, what happens then? We joined on the line by Mpumelelo Zikalala, if you just joined us, and we're having a discussion about the latest plot and twist in the Please Call Me battle between Nkosana Makate and Vodacom. Now, let's say the court has now made a judgment and a ruling that I owe somebody money, but the case is still ongoing, right? Litigation is also about strategy. Can this not be used now to force me to settle in some kind of way? Because I'm already obligated to you to the tune of 13 million.
Well, it is, because I need to come up with that 13 million. If I don't, then you're going to come and attach my stuff. Also, it's going to throw us a bit in terms of our strategy, because we now have to think and defend this particular order in terms of instead of focusing on the main trial, which is exactly what you are looking for. So it can be a strategy to say, well, take it as a being coerced in taking the deal so that you can be able to settle the debt that is there. You may find that in any settlements agreements, one of the conditions would be each party must pay their own cost. So if you think, I'm not going to pay this 13 million, it may rather accept the settlement as it is, and then we walk away from the whole thing. So it can be used as a strategy.
Yeah. Now, we always say that people have equal justice or equal access to justice, right? But a conversation such as this highlights that that's not necessarily true. Because if I've got deeper pockets in you, the chances of me being able to get, let's call it an outcome that favors me versus you being able to get an outcome that favors you, those chances are higher for me for the reasons that we've stated. And so how is it that something like this can be alleviated? Because some people may then choose not to pursue justice in any case because they feel like, hey, Lana Zongalela, what's this up 13 million if I happen to lose?
You see, that rests on the presiding officers themselves. I always say there are two types of presiding officers. There's one that would provide a narrow type of judgment that would say, this is the law, I'm not deviating for it, and it's either black or white, and it ends there. Or there's either one that should provide a wide interpretation of the legislation that is there to say, even though it is written that this thing must be there, but I want to go beyond and see what was the intention of the legislatures, what is the intention, or what type of justice can I be able to deliver to these two individuals. Mm. So even though that application has not been drafted in the most legalistic or perfect way, however, the intention of what they were stating, why they're here in court for, has been understood. And in order for me to provide a judgment which is effective, in line with what the Constitution is saying, then let me make sure that my judgment speaks to the issues in which they are facing. Take that and apply it to this constitutional court case. And then you come back and say, whose problem is it that the Supreme Court of Appeals made an order that was wrong? Remember what the judgment is saying. It doesn't say that you as the parties provided information which was wrong or you failed to prove your case. It simply says the court did not decide the matter in a proper manner. So why are you punishing an individual for doing that? The unfortunate part in this case is that you can't appeal to a higher court because you are now at the apex court and it ends there.
I was just about to say that. Now there's no recourse. It's like if I say, I'd like to go out tonight. I ask my brother, he says I can go out. I ask my sister, she says I can't go out. I ask my dad, he says I can go out. Then I go ask my mom, and she says, well, you can go out. At the end of the day, I've asked everybody I can ask. I can't escalate this matter any further now. So what's going to happen?
Yes. You see, now we are stuck with the 13 million rand debt that you have to pay, and you have to try and fight in terms of saying, maybe let's go and tax it and see what was that going to be. Another thing which was a bit arbitrary on this one, or which was a bit strange, most of the time, the court would look at your legal team and say, do you really need to have three senior counsels within the team? Because if you have three senior counsels, it means you have three juniors again. Mm. So in terms of the cost and the amount of resources which are required, did you go for the expensive route because you wanted to make sure that you had one to defend at all cost, or were all those individuals necessary to be there, taking into account their expertise? Probably if you go to court, you will take someone that has experience in that type of litigation and not someone who's going to be learning by using your matter. So those are all the things that the court should have considered. But where we are now is a situation where the 13 million rand is true. In order to be able to succeed, find a way of being able to satisfy it. If there's no way of satisfying it at all, then they may come and attach his property if he does. Or at a later stage, if he wins, then they would say, you still owe us an amount of money, please pay us back.
Yes, Yalkunindaba. Thank you. That's where we need to leave it. Bumelelo Zikalala, good friend of the shows. Thank you as always for your time.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your table.
Yeah. I've never seen a case like this. At some point, this guy had a settlement on the table for 47 million.
Yep.
Turned it down. Now he owes them 13 million. Mm.
At the end of the day, I think this was Vodacom's strategy to say it's like we take for as long as we want to dry his pockets. Vodacom's pockets are deep. So what they did is like they dragged this case until this point. So now they are forcing him to accept whatever's on the table. I hope he wins.
In all fairness, so he's the one that dragged the case, right? They had a settlement on the table. He's the one that turned it down.
I think the public in general has their own opinions regarding this case. Some people think that he has the leg to stand on, others not. But if there's anything it's taught us is that if you are working for a company and you do come up with a brilliant idea, if you do not have the resources or capabilities to actually sell it to them and make money out of it, you keep quiet. Where I am currently, they're asking us what product innovations can you come up with so you can make money out of me and I don't get anything from it. Nah, bruh, not involved.
Yo, Sizwe, ngempela ngempela ziyalukhuninda. Let me say this. If the guy had taken the money that time, today this guy, mhlawumbe ngabe, he actually made double because ebengayithatha imali and then invest in property and invest in assets that were going to actually generate more money for him. But now we are stuck here. If we call 2007, I was 23 then. Today I'm 41. I'm sure this guy would be rich. Now I think they are spiting him. Mm-mm.
The settlement offer was made in 2019. So 6 years, 47 million. Like we said, we don't know Ziyo Pelaganjan. Let's just see.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.